Listening test. Part 1.
Listen to the recording twice, then choose A, B or C to best answer the questions.
Hello, Sunnyside Inn, may I help you?
Yes, I'd like to reserve a room for 2 on the 21st of March.
Okay, let me check our computer here for a moment.
Okay.
The 21st of May, right?
No, March, not May.
Oh, sorry. Let me see here.
Are you all booked that night?
Well, we have one suite available, complete with a kitchenette and sauna bath.
Okay.
And the view of the city is great, too.
How much is that?
It's only $200 plus a 10% room tax.
Oh, that's a little too expensive for me. Do you have a cheaper room available, either on the 20th or the 22nd?
Well, would you like a smoking or non-smoking room?
Non-smoking, please.
Okay. We do have a few rooms available on the 20th. We're full on the 22nd, unless you want a smoking room.
Well, how much is the non-smoking room on the 20th?
$80 plus the 10% room tax.
Okay, that'll be fine.
All right. Could I have your name, please?
Yes. It's Bob Maxner.
How do you spell your last name, Mr. Maxner?
It's M-A-E-X-N-E-R.
Okay, Mr. Maxner. We look forward to seeing you on March 20th.
Okay, goodbye.
Now listen again.
Hello, Sunnyside Inn, may I help you?
Yes, I'd like to reserve a room for 2 on the 21st of March.
Okay, let me check our computer here for a moment.
Okay.
The 21st of May, right?
No, March, not May.
Oh, sorry. Let me see here.
Are you all booked that night?
Well, we have one suite available, complete with a kitchenette and sauna bath.
Okay.
And the view of the city is great, too.
How much is that?
It's only $200 plus a 10% room tax.
Oh, that's a little too expensive for me. Do you have a cheaper room available, either on the 20th or the 22nd?
Well, would you like a smoking or non-smoking room?
Non-smoking, please.
Okay. We do have a few rooms available on the 20th. We're full on the 22nd, unless you want a smoking room.
Well, how much is the non-smoking room on the 20th?
$80 plus the 10% room tax.
Okay, that'll be fine.
All right. Could I have your name, please?
Yes. It's Bob Maxner.
How do you spell your last name, Mr. Maxner?
It's M-A-E-X-N-E-R.
Okay, Mr. Maxner. We look forward to seeing you on March 20th.
Okay, goodbye.
The end of part one. Now turn to part two.
You now have 45 seconds to look at the questions for part two.
You will hear a conversation between a mother and her son about preparing for exams. Mark the statements below as true or false.
Here's another mug of coffee. Do you know it's already 12:45?
Thanks, Mum. I don't know why I always seem to end up studying at the last minute. I know it's silly and it's not a good idea. Cramming in facts late at night until the early hours.
What you need is a revision timetable. You know, a month or so before the exams start. You should sit down and plan all the work you have to do and how much you're going to do each day. If you did that, you wouldn't end up working in the middle of the night.
At the moment, I'm just studying the things that I think are likely to come up. 3 or 4 for each subject. A group of us got together and discussed this.
But is that not a huge risk?
Yes, of course it is. But I haven't got time to cover the whole course.
And you know, the way you're doing things at the moment is crazy. Not just from the work point of view, but everything. Studying late, getting up late, not eating properly.
You're right. And I'm drinking far too much coffee and probably eating too much chocolate too. But they make me feel wide awake, so I'm able to study better.
That's because they're stimulants. How do you feel after the effect has worn off?
Well, I suppose I just keep taking more, but it's very hard to get to sleep afterwards, and almost impossible to get up in the morning.
You need proper rest and exercise. When was the last time you went for a jog, or even went for a walk? And you haven't been to basketball practice for weeks. If your body is in such bad shape, How can you expect your mind to work properly?
Yes, I know.
Now listen again.
Here's another mug of coffee. Do you know it's already a quarter to midnight?
Thanks, Mum. I don't know why I always seem to end up studying at the last minute. I know it's silly, and it's not a good idea. Cramming in facts late at night until the early hours.
What you need is a revision timetable. You know, a month or so before the exams start. You should sit down and plan all the work you have to do, and how much you're going to do each day. If you did that, you wouldn't end up working in the middle of the night.
At the moment, I'm just studying the things that I think are likely to come up. 3 or 4 for each subject. A group of us got together and discussed this.
But is that not a huge risk?
Yes, of course it is. But I haven't got time to cover the whole course.
And you know, the way you're doing things at the moment is crazy. Not just from the work point of view, but everything. Studying late, getting up late, not eating properly.
You're right. And I'm drinking far too much coffee, and probably eating too much chocolate too. But they make me feel wide awake, so I'm able to study better.
That's because they're stimulants. How do you feel after the effect has worn off?
Well, I suppose I just keep taking more. But it's very hard to get to sleep afterwards, and almost impossible to get up in the morning.
You need proper rest and exercise. When was the last time you went for a jog, or even went for a walk? And you haven't been to basketball practice for weeks. If your body is in such bad shape, how can you expect your mind to work properly?
Yes, I know.
That's the end of part 2. You now have 30 seconds to check your answers.
Now turn to part 3. You now have 20 seconds to look at part 3. Now we are ready to start. Listen carefully. You will hear the recording twice.
You will hear part of a radio report. Complete the notes which summarize what the speakers say. Write no more than 3 words for each answer.
You don't have to go far back to find a time when the most widely used packaging for food was a brown paper bag. In fact, I remember as a boy, some 40 years ago, when everything from bacon and biscuits to butter was measured out and then wrapped just well enough to get it home. Since then, we have seen the development of a huge array of plastics and other materials for packaging our food, which we are told makes the food better and keeps it fresher. Now, with me in the studio today, I have Maggie Forbes, who is head of packaging and presentation for the supermarket chain Sainsbury's. Welcome, Maggie. Can you tell us, does the new packaging really help us, or is it just a nuisance?
Well, Gordon, it's very easy to see the benefits of modern food packaging. In countries which don't have modern packaging and transport systems, between 30 and 50% of all food deteriorates before it can be eaten. It was probably the same when you were a boy. Nowadays, in Britain and across Europe, only 2 or 3% of food is thrown away. It's a huge saving.
That may be so. But do we need so much of today's modern packaging? With deep freezers at home, surely we only need the brown paper bags to carry food home. Most of the plastics and polystyrene we see today are just thrown away, and far from being a saving, it seems a huge waste.
I think you're being unfair there. Brown paper bags do very little to keep food fresh, clean, or wholesome. They don't stop food drying out, and they can actually encourage the bacteria which makes food go bad quickly. And if you want to chill food successfully in your deep freeze, you need a plastic which is impervious to water vapor. Without a wrapping like that, food loses most of its water content in the freezer and is uneatable.
Okay, so they may be useful in the deep freeze. But what about products like milk, which aren't frozen? Surely glass or even stone bottles were just as effective and reusable.
Yes, they were certainly effective, but also very heavy. I assure you, you wouldn't want to carry all of your food home in glass jars. Glass and stone jars are easy to break, as you will probably remember from your boyhood. The benefit of plastic is that it is light and long-lasting. It also keeps in smells. You wouldn't want your milk smelling of fish, would you? And lastly, it keeps out bacteria. If we seal fresh food in good condition in plastic, then it is certain to be free from contamination when you get it home. You probably won't remember, but in your boyhood, food poisoning was much more common than it is today.
Now listen again.
You don't have to go far back to find a time when the most widely used packaging for food was a brown paper bag. In fact, I remember as a boy, some 40 years ago, when everything from bacon and biscuits to butter was measured out and then wrapped just well enough to get it home. Since then, we have seen the development of a huge array of plastics and other materials for packaging our food, which we are told makes the food better and keeps it fresher. Now, with me in the studio today, I have Maggie Forbes, who is head of packaging and presentation for the supermarket chain Sainsbury's. Welcome, Maggie. Can you tell us, does the new packaging really help us, or is it just a nuisance?
Well, Gordon, it's very easy to see the benefits of modern food packaging. In countries which don't have modern packaging and transport systems, between 30 and 50% of all food deteriorates before it can be eaten. It was probably the same when you were a boy. Nowadays, in Britain and across Europe, only 2 or 3% of food is thrown away. It's a huge saving.
That may be so. But do we need so much of today's modern packaging? With deep freezers at home, surely we only need the brown paper bags to carry food home. Most of the plastics and polystyrene we see today are just thrown away, and far from being a saving, it seems a huge waste.
I think you're being unfair there. Brown paper bags do very little to keep food fresh, clean, or wholesome. They don't stop food drying out, and they can actually encourage the bacteria which makes food go bad quickly. And if you want to chill food successfully in your deep freeze, you need a plastic which is impervious to water vapor. Without a wrapping like that, food loses most of its water content in the freezer and is uneatable.
Okay, so they may be useful in the deep freeze. But what about products like milk, which aren't frozen? Surely glass or even stone bottles were just as effective and reusable?
Yes, they were certainly effective, but also very heavy. I assure you, you wouldn't want to carry all of your food home in glass jars. Glass and stone jars are easy to break, as you will probably remember from your boyhood. The benefit of plastic is that it is light and long-lasting. It also keeps in smells. You wouldn't want your milk smelling of fish, would you? And lastly, it keeps out bacteria. If we seal fresh food in good condition in plastic, then it is certain to be free from contamination when you get it home. You probably won't remember, but in your boyhood, food poisoning was much more common than it is today.
That is the end of part three.
Time's up. Thank you.